Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord, everyone. Good evening. This is Bishop Horace C. Michael, pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church, and it is our great pleasure to be with you on this night, the last Tuesday of November. Can you believe it? It's November 30th in the year 2021, and look at how far God has brought us. My God, in through this season, while we are yet still facing the pandemic of COVID-19, God is still on the throne, and he has sustained us throughout this entire year, and his mercy absolutely endures forever. I believe I've got a witness on the line tonight that will declare that his mercy endures forever. Let's position ourselves and prepare our hearts and minds for the study of God's word. I'm so grateful to God for all of you that are here with us tonight. And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with us before we dive in. Let's look to the Lord together. Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we love you. We bless you. We give you all the glory and all the praise. We are excited about your presence. And we are grateful, Lord God, to know that you are a faithful God. You've watched over us throughout this entire week. And here we are now, Lord God, at the end of this month. Although it's just Tuesday, your mercy has prevailed. We bless your name tonight. We thank you for what you have shared with us in your word. We thank you for what we have learned through your word. Thank you for the faith that has been increased and for the hearts that have been touched, for lives that have been changed, and for growth that is continuous. Lord, you started something and we are grateful. We give your name the praise. We give your name the glory. We ask that you would ever have your way in all that's said and done. And we will not forget to give you the praise, the glory, and all the honor. We commit ourselves into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Bless your hearts. You know how the Lord has been dealing with me, and I shared with you all how he's touched my heart so many times concerning you. The love I have for the people of God is just incredible. I just don't know how to describe it, except that it is absolutely the fulfillment and the ever-expanding effect of this verse in my spirit toward you all. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, the word of the Lord says, "And I will give you shepherds according to my own heart, who will feed you knowledge and understanding." I'm grateful to God. This is my part, and I want to share this with you. I want you to understand that all scripture, this is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and also 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. First, out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17, the word of the Lord says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And so when the Apostle Paul wrote these words to his son in the Gospel, Timothy, who was the bishop of Ephesus, he was a presbyter. He was a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he wanted to encourage Timothy in terms of how he ought to prioritize things and understand the efficacy of scripture. And so this was a charge to Timothy, but it didn't stop there. In chapter 2, verse 15, and this is something that I wanted to share for all of us: "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." This is a very powerful verse of scripture. It is one of several scriptures that you will be exposed to, if you have not already, as it relates to the directive to the believer to study. Not only does Paul tell this to Timothy, his young protege, he also writes this to the church at Colossae, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. It is absolutely important that you study the word, that even David said, "Thy word, O Lord, have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." You must build up your faith by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And I want to encourage you out of the word of God to build your faith there, to stand strong in the word. Don't let anybody talk you out of the word. The word must dwell in you. And the only way for that to happen is for you to read it and for you to meditate upon it. I can go on and on. Joshua chapter 1, the Lord told Joshua that he ought to meditate in the word day and night, for therein shall he make his way prosperous, therein shall he have good success. And as you know, he said it to Joshua about two or three times, be strong and of a good courage. And I think that was important because Joshua was about to take on the leadership of the people of Israel. Moses, the servant of the Lord, had died, and God was moving things into Joshua's hands. Joshua was a faithful servant under Moses, committed leader, military man, very, very organized, regimented, and was a go-getter. He wasn't sitting around waiting for stuff to happen. He was the kind of guy that would make things happen. But this was something different, something big and something new. And he told Joshua to be strong and of a good courage. And tonight, I want to lay this as a foundation for all of you, because your faith is going to be challenged and you're going to have to be strong. Your faith is going to be challenged. Your convictions are going to be challenged, and you have to be strong. Glory to God. You've got to know that you know that you know that you know. And what you need to know is the word of God. Don't be afraid of the world. Don't be afraid of what's going to come, because man is going to do what man's going to do. There's going to be people that may not like you. There's going to be people that may not agree with you, but that's their problem. When you stand and be strong in the word, the Lord will always see you through. And with that as a bit of an introduction, we're going to go right into our lesson tonight, The Power of God Consciousness, Part 2. The Power of God Consciousness, Part 2. Okay, I'm going to need some readers tonight. Praise the name of God. I want to get into this text and dig into this, because I want you to understand the power of God consciousness. Now, we talked about God consciousness on one level last week, but we're going to go into another level tonight. Okay, I need to read a Psalms 139, verse 1 through 10. God bless you, Dr. Marbury. Please go ahead.
O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from the spirit, or whether shall I flee from the present? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uppermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Marbury. It is imperative that you understand that God is with us. And as we are preparing ourselves, even for the observance of the holiday of Christmas, we know that in the one of the gospel narratives, it gives the name of Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. And so this is so important that you understand the presence of God, being conscious of God, that I'm spending extra time with this, because when you become conscious of God, it's going to have an effect on your life that the devil doesn't want you to have. Most of people's faith is wrapped up in emotions, what they see, what they hear from others. But what I want to lay for you is a foundation of knowing God for yourself. We spoke about biblical confessions that lead to the praise life. I shared with you all about God is who God says he is. God has what God says he has. God can do what he says he can do. And then the other side of that coin are the affirmations for you. You are who God says you are. You have what God says you have. You can do what God says you can do. And I'm already feeling something on this line. I feel the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the basis for you to grow exponentially in faith, to believe God for the miraculous, for the impossible. And I want this to get in your spirit so that change is produced. Change is produced through this kind of teaching. God is with us. And to be conscious of God is powerful. Let me get into this text with you all. So when we go back here, I'm going to skip back to Psalms for one quick second. Understand that there is nothing about you that God doesn't know. And for some, that might be a little unnerving. It may make people uncomfortable. It may make them feel a bit paranoid. And the truth of the matter is, if it's because you're doing something you ain't got no business doing, then that's good. You ought to feel uncomfortable knowing that God is watching you, knowing that God knows everything. Even the words that are in your mouth, before they come out of your mouth, God knows everything. There's not a word in your tongue, but God knows it all together. He knows when we are laying down, when we're getting up. He knows everything about us. He knows everything. He's omniscient. There's nothing about us that's hidden from him. And for those that walk with God by faith, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. The psalmist says that the idea of this is mind-blowing. It is beyond my comprehension. And of course, we cannot fully comprehend the scope of God's consciousness, because it boggles the mind. He knows everything about everyone all the time. Can you imagine what kind of processing power it would take to be cognizant of every single movement on the planet? Everything that happens, every drop of rain that falls, every leaf that falls to the ground, every bird that's flying in the air, every thought of every person all the time. I mean, it's inconceivable to even try to fathom what that must be like. For us, it would make us go crazy, because there's no way in the world that we could grasp all of that and maintain our sanity. It'll blow our minds. It'll blow our minds. It'll fry our little noodles. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. This is what the psalmist said. This is just blowing my mind. But the good news is, God has the capacity to do this. God has the capacity to know everything. That's awesome. That's incredible. That's God. And so this brings hope. And so the psalmist pivots from the fact of how vast and how comprehensive God's knowledge is. He pivots to where that becomes practical. He says, where shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into the heaven, thou art there. I mean, certainly he's in the heaven. He made the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. He's God above the earth. He's God on the earth. He's God under the earth. He is God everywhere. No matter where I am, God is there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. This is the comfort. When I'm in good, and when I'm doing, when I'm in a good experience, when I'm in a bad experience, when I'm feeling well, when I'm not feeling well, when I'm on the mountain, when I feel like the mountain is on me, there's no place I can be where God is not with me. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I am confident in the presence of God. I'm confident in my God consciousness, because where he is, there's stuff that's going to happen. And this is going to take me to Romans chapter 8. I need a reader for Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 31. And I need somebody to get ready to read 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. I'll have it on the screen. You don't have to worry about getting it. I just need people ready to read. Glory to God. I need a ready to read reader. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Claudia, God bless you there. NS, God bless you. You can take 1 John 4, verses 4 through 6 for NS. So, Sister Claudia, Romans chapter 8, please, verses 26 through 31. And I want you to make a note of this. God is with you and for you, Sister Claudia. Okay.
Verse 26 begins, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings and which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We are in the 31st verse of Romans 8. To God be the glory.
Amen. Amen. Understand now, we're going to move into this from the idea of it, from the principle to the practice of it. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. God's presence is there to help us. He is with us. He doesn't show up. Now, let's understand, there's a big difference between God's omnipresence and his manifested presence. His omnipresence covers the world, because there's no place you can go that you can get away from God. No place you can go where you can hide from God. No place you can go where you're out of the reach of God. So that's his omnipresence. His manifest presence occurs where he is welcomed, where he's invited, where he abides. The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's God's dwelling place. God in us, working in us, both to do and to will of his own good pleasure. And so understand operationally that when God is in us, he is there to help us. He is on our side. He is there to give us what we need. Even in the most difficult and unimaginable experiences of our lives, I need you to understand something here for a moment. Jesus experienced one of the most grotesque executions on the planet on behalf of all mankind. Crucifixion was a Roman form of execution. It was torturous. It was painful. It was brutal. It was public. It was not only a means of executing someone for a capital crime, it was also done publicly as a deterrent, as a message to the community that if you come up against this government, if you come up against this authority, you can find yourself on a cross as well. and you could understand how this was possibly a deterrent from a lot of capital crimes. It may not have been a deterrent for small crimes, but for anything that was an affront to the nation of Rome, to the government of Rome, yeah, you were crucified. And this was not something that in his flesh he wanted to do, but he knew he had to do it because it was the will of God. You will remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed unto God. The Bible said he prayed so hard that his sweat was like drops of blood. This is reflective of the stress of that moment. And his words that he uttered was, if there be any other way, if this cup may pass from me, so be it. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He accepted this most excruciatingly painful form of death so that you can be saved. When we identify with Jesus, we don't just identify with him in his glory. We identify with him through suffering. And some people may ask, well, why do I have to suffer? Why do I have to go through? Why do I have to deal with sickness on this level? Why do I have to face this painful experience? Why was I raped? Why was I abused? Why was I abandoned? Why, oh my God, my heart is overwhelmed when I think of the man's inhumanity to man that perhaps even some of you may have had to experience, or some listener that's experienced, someone listening that may have gone through this experience, or some other thing that may cause you to feel and ask the question, why me? And so the Spirit steps in to help us in those difficult why me moments. Oh, my Spirit, my God. In those why me moments, the Spirit of God comes in to minister to us, because we get to a point sometimes when we don't even know what to say. Our mouths are open and no words are coming out. It's almost like a Hannah experience. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. The Holy Spirit, the abiding Spirit of God, makes intercession. God operates in us by the Holy Spirit. And this operation causes us to do the things, when we yield to it, when we yield to the Holy Spirit, it causes us to do the things that please God, the things that recognize God. And this is the power of this God consciousness. We recognize God and come to the conclusion that all things, and Paul says, we know, we're not speculating, we're not guessing. And this is this verse 28 is a very powerful verse, because I want you to understand that this means that I accept what God has allowed. It doesn't mean that I like it. Oh, yana rabu shaya, but I accept what God has allowed. I'm not going to struggle with it. Oh, Jesus accepted what God had ordained and allowed in his life. And it was this confidence in God that sustained him through the trial and the test and the rigors of his punishment for us because of our sin. And it's the same sustenance. It is the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit that sustains us through whatever we go through. And this is why Paul was able to say, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. See, Jesus trusted God and loved God no matter what he faced, even the death of the cross. And when we talk about being disciples of Jesus, we have to grow to that same level, that we accept what God allows and we acknowledge the fact that it's working for our good. The psalmist declared, it was good that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Even the difficulties of life, God uses them to bless us and to reveal himself to us in it. You remember Joseph, after his brothers had betrayed him, sold him into slavery, threw him in a pit, took them out, sold them into slavery. He went to Potiphar's house, selected by Potiphar. Everything was going great. He was thrown in jail because Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, and he resisted the seductive wooing of Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar probably knew his wife was loose, but he had to save face. And so he had to put Joseph in prison, despite the fact that he probably had every confidence in Joseph. He left Joseph to be the governor of his house. He had charge over everything in Potiphar's house, except, of course, his wife. He had that kind of confidence in Joseph. And here comes Potiphar's wife now trying to mess things up. Joseph, the honorable man that he is, did not give in to her seduction. He ran instead of staying there to try to fight with the woman or to say, I'm Superman, I can handle this. You know, you got to know what your capacity is. And Joseph was good enough to know, listen, I got to get out of here. I'm not going to stay here and play with fire, because if you play with fire, you're going to get burnt. He left the place, but Potiphar's wife grabbed his garment, tore it, and used that as a way to incriminate him, to get him to be thrown into prison. Some of y'all know the story. He was thrown into prison, left there to die. He was there, even there, God's gift operated through him. He was able to interpret dreams. And he was able to do that in such a way that it ultimately was used to his release. He got released out of the prison. Pharaoh had a dream. He couldn't interpret the dream. He didn't know what the dream was all about. And Potiphar recommended Joseph. Potiphar got Joseph out. And see, this leads me to know that Potiphar had confidence in Joseph. He must have knew that there was something up with his wife. But he got Joseph out. Joseph interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh. Joseph was made the second in command of all Egypt. Zaphnath-Paneah was his name. That was the Egyptian name that they gave Joseph, because they said that the gods speak through him, and it caused them to survive. The 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of hard famine, God was with him. And my brother and my sister, some of you right now, and I don't know why the Lord has directed me this way, but some of you are going through a hard thing. And I want you to understand that in the context of what you're facing, as long as you are trusting God, this verse will be your testimony. All things work together for good. And for those that are listening that need to be saved, I want you to understand there's a process. It's right in front of us. Verse 29, whom he did foreknow, whom he knew before time, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. In other words, God has a plan for you. You're here because you're a part of God's plan. You're here because God's got plans for you. My God, and these plans are about to start to go into action. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Verse 30 is the activation of the plan. Those that he predestinated, them he also called. He called, he set it in motion. Whom he called, them he also justified. Justification is the work of the blood of Jesus, his body broken for us, his blood shed for us, and we receiving the Holy Spirit with the manifest evidence of speaking with other tongues. This is what brings justification. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. In other words, if you think God is going to stop halfway through with the work he's doing on you, you got another thing coming. What he started in you, he's going to finish it. Get out of his way. Let him do what he's going to do. I don't know why I'm feeling such a power of the Holy Spirit on the line. But verse 31 says, what shall we then say to these things? Looking back at the verses that came before, Paul is asking us a question. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? These questions, this is the test. These questions in verse 31, this is the quiz. You're getting quizzed. Praise the name of God. What shall we then say to these things? The trials of life, the difficulties, the vicissitudes, the ups and downs. If God be for us, who can be against us? The fact that God is with us also is a comfort to know he is for us. He is never with you and not for you. You accept the with you, and God will show you the for you. You accept, you recognize the with you. Glory to God. You acknowledge God. You recognize him. This is what we do when we repent and we are baptized and we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are recognizing the with usness of God. This is what faith does. Faith causes you to accept him being with you. And when that kind of faith is cut loose, you will see God working for you. It's with faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so we've got to go by faith. But when our faith allows us to recognize God and our need for salvation through repentance and getting baptized in the water and then getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that recognition turns into power, where the God that is the omnipresent God, his omnipotence, his omnipresence turns into omnipotence in our lives. The power of God at work in us. Lord, have mercy. This takes me to my next point. And this is the 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. I think Sister Nicole Stevenson, if that's NS, if that's you, praise the name of God. I want you to, whoever NS is, come on and read this. This is 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 through 6.
Yes, Pastor, it's Nicole.
Bless you.
Bless you. 1 John 4, 4 through 6. Ye are God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he is that is in the world. 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. 6. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error. 1 John 4, 4 through 6.
Amen. Ye are of God. John is writing this epistle to spirit-filled believers, to the people of God. And he affirms to them, ye are of God. You have been born of God. Of God means to have been born of. You are the products of my God. I am produced of God. I am a product of God. My God. And in the world, when insurance companies don't want to cover you for certain accidents or issues that come out from weather conditions, they make a disclaimer that they are not able to insure you for what's called acts of God. They can't control them. They don't have any way to prevent them. So they don't have any, they feel that they don't want to be culpable for being responsible. They don't want to be held responsible for those things. And so there's nothing you can do about it and nothing they can do about it. And so that's the disclaimer. We'll cover you for all these things except acts of God. When I was thinking about that the other day, the Lord dropped it in my spirit. He said, don't you know that you're an act of God? I'm not an adverse weather condition. I'm not a storm or a hurricane, but the Holy Spirit told me that and my arm almost jumped out of my chair. I am an act of God. I'm not a mistake. When God saved me, it was a deliberate act. He ordained me to have the Holy Spirit. He ordained for me to hear the word of God. The word of God went out to the world, for God so loved the world. I received it. And to be saved is God's plan for all of us. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And when you come to that knowledge by faith, everything will start to click because it's already been set in motion. Hey, you are an act of God. God deliberately designed you, deliberately made you. You are not an accident. And because we are acts of God, my God, because we are an act of God, in as much as a natural storm or act of God cannot be contained or controlled by human elements or human preparation, the devil can't stop an act of God. My God, you are an act of God, and God and the devil can't stop you. You've overcome them because greater is he. Here we go. There's this God dwelling. While being conscious of God is good, having God dwelling on the inside of you is better. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. and the world heareth them. Understand that there is a language that operates in the world, and then there's a language that operates in the spirit. The language of the world is known to the world and understood by the world. The language of the spirit is known in the spirit world, and it is heard by those in the spirit world. When we speak the word of God, it's not just words that are echoed in our natural environment. My words produce the blessings that come from the throne of God itself. I speak it out of the spirit into the natural through the exercise of faith. And those things that are not, we believe that God is able to bring to pass the things we do not see. Whatsoever things we desire, Mark 11, around verse 20, 21, 22, whatsoever things we desire when we pray, we believe that we receive them and we shall have them. We speak those things that are not as though they are. This is the power of the indwelling Spirit of God. It affects the words that come out of my mouth. Most people praise God in good times, and even sinners can praise God in good times, but it takes a priest to offer the sacrifice of praise. Come on, somebody. It takes a priest to offer the sacrifice of praise. Anybody can offer the sacrifice of joy. God, you've been good to me. God, you've made a way for me. Lord, I love you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You did it again. You did it again. You did it again. Anybody can offer the praise of joy. Anybody can do that. Everything that has breath ought to praise the Lord. So the praise of joy, that's automatic. But the sacrifice of praise, it's made when it's not convenient. It's made when things are not going well. Even when emotionally, I don't feel like giving God praise. The sacrifice of praise, oh God, this is what God is looking for in us. And when we understand who's on the inside, even though it's a sacrifice, we're up for it. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Because we speak in the same language. Come on, somebody. When you speak the language of faith, it resonates in the heart of those who are of faith. The word of faith will always resonate in the heart of those who walk by faith. Even those who are growing in faith, the word of faith will catch fire there. He that is not of God will have a hard time hearing us because we're not talking their language. So I'm not going to get upset if somebody hears me saying something of a faith confession and they argue or they want to argue about it. I remember I put a post on Facebook one time when I was reading a passage out of the New Testament where Jesus was with the disciples and he was in a house with the disciples. Somebody came to him and said that your mother and your brother and sisters are outside and they want to speak with you. And Jesus didn't get up and go straight away, but he used that moment as a teaching moment. And he said, my mother and my brothers and my sisters are they that hear the word of God and do it. So he didn't discount his natural family, but he was making a point that those that are really connected to him obey the word of God. They hear the word of God and they do it. And I put a post, blood is thicker than water, but obedience is thicker than blood. And some people didn't understand that. They didn't understand where I was going with obedience is thicker than blood. Because if you truly are a child of God, if you are truly a Christian disciple, obedience is better than sacrifice. You begin to embody this, that to obey is better than to sacrifice, than to go through the motions. And so that was something that I used as an example of a confession that I made and a statement that I made based upon scripture, and people couldn't get it. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in it, so it didn't surprise me. And I didn't go back and forth and argue. I don't have time for that. But I understood where they were coming from because they couldn't hear. They couldn't hear faith. They couldn't hear a confession. So don't be upset when family members that don't have the Holy Spirit or friends that don't have the Holy Spirit don't understand what you're saying and may want to argue with you. Don't argue with them. Pray for them, because they just can't hear what you're saying because they're not by the Holy Spirit. And this is why the bottom part of verse 6 is important. You need to know that there is the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is one of the reasons why I shared that slide with you in the very beginning of the lesson, that you need to understand that you need to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, because you need to be able to draw distinction between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If it doesn't line up with God's word, it's the spirit of error. I don't care who says it. It can come from an angel. It can come from a preacher, pastor, bishop, apostle, evangelist, prophet, whatever. If it doesn't line up with the word of God and it comes to contradict the word, it's the spirit of error. Last thing I want to share with you before we go. Whew. God is right here. I want you to understand that this is about his presence, his omnipresence to his manifest presence. I want you to get this. I need a reader. I think Sister Lynette wants to do some reading. So I got this for you, Sister Lynette. You can do this. This is Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 11. God is right here and is ready to work wherever faith is. Isaiah chapter 55. Verses 6 to 11, please.
Yes, good evening, everybody. Okay. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, then it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. And shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That's the reading of God's word. Amen.
My God, my God, my God. See, this is Isaiah, the eagle-eyed prophet, speaking to the people of God. This is the people of God he's speaking to. But something happened, and they got, they went astray. They got off track. And Isaiah, the latter part of Isaiah, talks about the blessings that are associated with reconciliation and being renewed in relationship with God. And so this is Isaiah reaching out to the people. The first part of Isaiah is very, very, it's hard words. It's judgmental words. God is judging Israel because of their backslidden attitude, their backslidden way of living, and they turn their backs on God. And of course, they're going to, face consequences. Anybody that turns their back on God, if God is blessing and you turn your back on the blesser, that means that you're out there open up to be cursed. You're open to experience the curses of sin, because sin has a consequence. So if you turn your back on God or you turn yourself away from God, then what do you expect? You're not going to be able to get blessed, because the only way to get blessed is to come to God. There are some common blessings that everybody experiences, like the rain falls on the just and the unjust, the sun shines on the just and the unjust. But if you want to get the blessings that are associated with relationship, it's like getting an inheritance. An inheritance isn't for those that are outside the family, it's for those that are in the family, for those that have made a difference or who's a part of the life of the deceased. That's who gets an inheritance. And I'm not just living to experience the blessings of salvation on earth. I want everything. I want everything God has for me. And so it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You got to look for him. And it's not that he's missing or he's lost, but you got to put an effort. Faith requires effort. And you need to put this in your notes. To benefit from the presence of God, it's going to take an effort. You got to seek him. And this is where we move from the omnipresence of God to the manifested presence of God. Because if, you know, we read a verse earlier, where can I flee from the presence of God? Which means he's everywhere. But here Isaiah is saying, seek him, as if you got to go find him. Well, that's because now we're talking about moving from the general idea of the consciousness of God in his omnipresent state to a manifest presence of God in a personal relationship. Woo! And this is where Isaiah is trying to get the people of Israel to get back in fellowship with God. So he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And so he's putting it in terms of an urgent thing to do. Don't waste time. You don't have time to waste with this. Get rid of wicked ways. Get rid of wicked, of unrighteous thoughts, and return unto the Lord. Do it quick. He'll have mercy upon you, and he will abundantly pardon. And you've got to make these moves, because there is judgment. There's an ultimate judgment coming. And Isaiah wanted Israel to understand that those judgments were one thing, but that there's going to come another judgment upon all the earth, and there's going to be no escape. Just like when Israel was in, the Hebrews were in Egypt. They came into Egypt and they were in a city called Goshen. So when the first 9 plagues came through Egypt, the Israelites were fine. The Hebrews were fine because they were in the city of Goshen. When the last judgment came through Egypt, which was the death of the firstborn, there was no place safe. The only place safe was the homes that had the blood of a lamb on their doorpost and the lintel, the door frames, in other words. The frame of the door was where the blood was sprinkled of a lamb that was without blemish, a lamb that was without spot. The lamb was killed. The blood was put in a basin. They took a hyssop, dipped it in the basin, and basically painted on the door, post and lintel, marked it with blood. And that was the only place where this global judgment did not fall. When I see the blood, the death angel passed over that spot. The Lord said, I will pass over you. And so there is an ultimate judgment coming. Some people think that COVID-19 is a part of the judgment of God. Whether that's a part of the judgment of God or not, I'm not here to debate that point, but I'm telling you, something is coming. If you think COVID-19 is something greater than that is coming. And you need to make a move. You don't need to play with this. You need to make a move. A move toward God. Seek the Lord. And then verse 8. This is the part that I really love about this, because this is now talking about what God has prepared for those that respond. Isaiah is speaking as a mouthpiece of God. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. There's a big difference between the way I think. This is Isaiah talking on God's behalf. So there's a big difference between the way God thinks and God's ways, the way God acts and the way we act, the way we think and the way God thinks, big difference as far as heavens are above the earth. And he puts that in those terms that we can get a context for how vast and how different they are. And verse 10 now, this speaks about response. This is the response of God. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven doesn't go back up, it waters the earth. It doesn't go back up yet. Now we know that, you know, there's a process of water and evaporation, all that kind of stuff. But when the water comes down to the earth, it does something to it before it goes back up, before the mist rises up. It waters the earth and it causes life to come. This life gives seed to the sower so that the sower can sow seed, bread to the eater so the people can be fed. And Isaiah says, this is a simile or a metaphor for the word of God. Anytime God's word is released, anytime, whether it's through a song, whether it's through a preached word or a word that's being taught, it's not coming back without producing something. It just needs to find the right heart. Hey, glory to God. And I want to know, I wonder if the right heart is listening now. When the right heart is listening, the word is going to produce something. It's not going to come back empty. It is going to accomplish what God pleases, and no demon can stop it. If you don't have enough money, you don't need to have enough money if God's going to bless you with a thing, because God can give it to you without your money. He don't need your money. We need your we need the money. God don't need our money. We honor God with our tithes and our offering because it reflects our acknowledgement of God as our source. When you hold back your tithe, you're a thief. I ain't calling you a thief. Malachi is calling you a thief. And when you hold back, you mess your own self up. You can't be asking God to open doors for you and bless you financially, and you're not honoring him with your tithe. That's like adding a positive one and a negative one. You got zero. It don't work. His presence. Oh, God, let me. I'm trying to wrap it up. Our praise brings his presence. Our praise causes God to respond. His presence can do more for you than a therapist. God, help me. Help me, Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that therapists don't have a place, but I'm telling you, God's presence can do more for you than a therapist. His presence, I don't care how low you are. I don't care how fallen you are. I don't care how depressed you are. If you get into God's presence, you're going to feel, you are going to have a physical feeling of being better. You are going to be emotionally better. You're going to absolutely, if you accept his presence in the fullness that he wants you to have it, not only are you going to feel better physically and emotionally, but the Holy Ghost will come in and you're going to be a brand new creature in his presence. The word says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, my God. You've got a therapy. You got a therapist. You got a therapist that's working for you, that's willing to work for you, that the world doesn't even understand. He is a, Isaiah said, he's a wonderful counselor. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Whew. This is why God dwelling on the inside is where it really matters most. Because when you get that, when the spirit is abiding on the inside, it takes you to another level with the word. And when you let the word come out of your mouth, this is why don't let nothing come out of your mouth that doesn't line up with the word of God. Don't let nothing come out of your mouth that doesn't line up with the word of God. Whether you have the Holy Ghost or not, you got to start practicing the word. And the way to start it, to start that, is by meditating on it, getting it in your thoughts, getting it in your mind, speaking it out of your mouth. Oh God. And I'm just gonna share this with you so you can see it. You know, the consequences of not being God conscious, it's in front of you. Unbelief, fear, reliance on the flesh, and inescapable bondage to sin. If you don't put your hands in God's hands, if you don't put your life in God's hands, there's no escape from sin. There's no remedy for sin outside of God. They can't give you a pill. They can't give you a therapist. They can't give you a treatment that's going to overcome sin. You are going to be bound to sin. That's why Jesus had to die. So, and why does the devil not want me to be God conscious? Because to be God conscious, to be conscious of God means to be aware of God. And I'm believing God right now that by the teaching of the Holy Spirit that's going on this line right now, to be aware of God lays a foundation of faith that sets expectations of God. Setting the expectation. I want you to expect God to do something. I want you to expect God's word to come to pass in your life. I want you to be able to declare that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I want you to experience God is who he says he is. God has what he says he has. God can do what he says he can do. I want you to experience I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. I don't want this just to be something that comes out of your mouth. I want this to be the result of your life. I want your words to line up with God's word, and then your life will line up with the word of God as well. When your words line up with God's word, then your life will reflect it. Hallelujah. My God, it will affect my thoughts, my focus, the words that come out of my mouth, the actions of my life, and it will ultimately be reflected in every area of my life. I can't help but understand. I can't help but grow and move forward when I am allowing God to have his way. The songwriter says, and we're going to end, would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burdens, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee, for his power can make you what you ought to be. His blood will cleanse your heart and set you free. His love will fill your soul, and you will see that it was best to let him have his way with thee. When the enemy attacks folks, one of the first things he does is try to rob us of our praise and our confession of faith. God only operates the power levels of faith when we speak his word and we honor him. I'm not just talking about small faith. Small faith is good. Some faith is better than none. But I'm talking about strong faith. And I want your faith to be strong. God has established the miraculous of his power to operate in our lives through faith. It's through faith, my brothers. It's through faith, my sister. And he's not going to violate his own principles. He operates the supernatural through faith. Doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to understand this. Doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to have it. But you've got to get the word in your spirit, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so we pivot now to the prayer, to the praise, and the power. The devil doesn't want you to survive the storm, but God is not only going to let you survive it, you're going to thrive in the midst of it. And so we pivot and back up so that the prayer leaders can come, take us to the throne of grace. I just feel the power of God on this line. And I just want somebody to know that there's a miracle with your name on it. There's a miracle with your name on it. We've been praying and God is working. We've been praying and God is working. It's truly hallelujah anyhow. And I want you to know that God is at work. He's at work. Be conscious of it, but also submit to that consciousness of him. Give yourself to him. Accept his word. Accept his way. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved, stay saved. I got to let the prayer leaders go. Come on, prayer leaders, in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you. Oh, gracious God, Lord Jesus, our eternal King, the Holy Spirit, Lord God, we thank you tonight for being such a mighty God, a powerful God, a wonderful God, a wonderful Savior. Lord, we thank you tonight for being so very good in our lives. You give your name all the praise, all the glory, hallelujah, and all the honor, because you and only you deserve it. Lord God, thank you for this day that you made, for this day that we can continue to rejoice and be glad in you. We thank you for keeping us safe, for keeping our families safe, for keeping our minds stayed on you, for keeping our hearts stayed on you. Lord, we just glorify your name tonight. Hallelujah. We just uplift your name tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, you said, we know hallelujah is the highest praise we can give you. So we say hallelujah. We say thank you, Jesus. We say thank you, Jesus, because you died for our sins. You went to the cross for us. You whipped, had thorns shoved into your head, spat upon, beaten mercilessly, had to drag a old rugged cross, hoisted up on that cross, hands nailed, feet nailed, side pierced, given a sponge with vinegar, bearing the entire sins, all the sins of this entire world, past, present, and future, so that we may be saved, that if we accept what you've done for us and give our lives to you, that we could reign and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and repent and ask for forgiveness, we could reign with you. We will reign with you. And you did that all for us. You would have done it for one person. And that's so amazing. And for that, we give you praise. Lord, help the brothers, Lord. We pray for the brothers tonight, Lord. We come before you for the brothers tonight. Lord, help each and every brother that can hear us tonight. Those husbands, those siblings, the uncles, the sons, the fathers, the grandfathers, the great-grandfathers, the great-great-great-grandfathers, the little babies, that young person, that child, that young person, teenager, young adult, Lord. Help them tonight, Lord God. If you don't know you, prick our hearts, Lord, that we may get to know you, that we may give our lives to you, Lord. That, Lord, that you convict us to hide your word in our hearts, that we won't sin against you. And for those of us that have, for those of us that used words that we had no business using, for those of us that thought things that we had no business thinking, for those of us who did things with our bodies that we had no business doing, Lord, forgive us right now. Cleanse us and wash us, Lord. That even though our sins may be as scarlet, because of the precious blood that you shed upon Calvary, you will make them white as snow. Lord, help us tonight, Lord Jesus. We need you more than ever, Lord. Time is wrapping up. The world is going crazy. But Lord, if we abide in you, Lord God, we can have perfect peace because of you. So help us to abide in you, Lord. Help us to read our word daily. Help us, Lord, in our prayer lives. Help us to come before you and lay before you and put aside every weight and the sin that so does easily beseech us, Lord. Lord, as men, you know, we have egos, Lord. As men, we have bravado, but Lord, help us to be humble, especially in your presence, Lord. Help us to humble ourselves, Lord, that you may lift us up, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to give our very lives to you, Lord, that you will exalt us, not for our glory, but for your glory. Help our lives to shine so before men that they may see our good works and glorify you, that we will be the light for a dark world. We know you can do all things but fail, Lord God. And we know you love us more. So continue to help us, but help us to be obedient to you. Lord, if you can bring Moses and Joseph and Daniel, the three Hebrew boys, if you could deliver them from certain death and then use them in mighty ways, you could do the same for us. Even Jonah, who tried to run, and some of us are trying to run. But even Jonah had to submit to you. So help us to submit our hearts to you. Every man that hears this, whether here live or in the recording, help us, Lord, to submit our very, very lives to you, our King, our Savior, our Deliverer. We love you tonight, Lord. We lift up your name on high. You are worthy to be praised, Lord, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the very same. The Lord Jesus, the name of Jesus, is worthy, so very worthy to be praised. And we thank you tonight for your grace, for your mercy, and for your love. And we won't forget to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise that belongs to you. We love you, Lord. And we magnify your name tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, wonderful is your name. Holy is your name. Righteous is your name. You're great God. You're wonderful God. You're awesome God. You're excellent Jesus. Lord, we bow before your presence tonight. Another time, Lord God. We just want to get to that place, Lord, where our wrongs can be rectified and the crooked part made straight. And so, Lord, if we had committed any sin, whether by action, thoughts, or speaking, Father, I pray, Lord, that you will forgive. Because your word reminds us, dear God, that if we regard iniquity in our heart, you will not hear. And truly, Lord, we need to hear from you. We need you to hear our prayer. And so as we come before your presence tonight, Lord, we bow humble at your feet. Oh, God, we humble ourselves under the mighty hands of God. We thank you, Lord, for keeping mercy, for loving kindness, for carrying us through another day. and for this another wonderful Bible teaching, Lord God, as you have led our Bishop, my God, to expound your word perfectly. Jesus, my God, we give you thanks for him. We bless your name for him, Lord God. And we pray, God, that you will give him that added strength that he need as he poured out unto us, Lord, that Jesus, you will pour back into him. Heavenly Father, on the behalf of every woman on the line and those that are absent, dear God, Lord, we place every woman in your hand. Jesus, my God, we can't do it without you. We cannot make it without you. Our life totally depends on you, Jesus. You are the way maker. You are the only God. There will never be another. There can never be another. Jesus, you are the only wise God. You are from everlasting to everlasting. You are God all by yourself. Jesus, we fall down at your feet tonight. Oh, God, we bow with a repenting heart. We bow, dear God, with a heart broken up before you, Jesus, knowing that, dear God, all we need is you. We cannot live without you. Father God, as you look down upon our women tonight, each and every one in every different place of our board, oh, God, every state of mind, every situation, Lord God, you know what your women are going through. You know every struggle. You know every setback. You know every hardship. Oh, God, you know every brokenness. But Jesus, my God, you have the answer because you are the answer, Lord. You are the only one, Jesus, that can carry us through every time of difficulties, every time of challenges, every time of storm. Oh, my God, it is you all the way. And so we run to you tonight, Lord, knowing that you are our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And so, great God of heaven, we run to you because your words are true. And my God, as we get these Bible teaching every night, dear God, help us, dear God, as your word said, let your word dwell in us richly. Oh, God, let it form life. Let it take root. Oh, my God, help us each day as you give us breath. Oh, my God, to live by your words. Father God, your word is food. Your word is life. Oh, God, your word is strength. Oh, my God, we cannot go on without your word. Lord, I cherish your word because your word is so sweet. Oh, my God, when I read your word, when I hear your words teach, I hear you speaking to us, oh God. Father God, I believe every word is true, and I accept them, dear God. I receive them, God, and I just want to live by them. And I pray that every woman, Lord, will accept your word and live by them, God. This is what is going to bring us into eternal life. Oh God, we cannot, oh God, afford to reject the good food. Oh my God, the nourishment for our soul. This is what is going to take us into everlasting life and help us to live forever. Jesus, my God, I pray that it will be applied to our soul every step of the way in our life, every journey. Oh my God, that it will apply to us, oh God, as we step every step of the way, my God. Lord, I pray that you guide us with your word. Help us to take your words as a shield. Oh, my God, cover us under your blood. Oh, God, and direct our path. Father God, knowing that it won't be long. Hallelujah, Jesus. It won't be long when we'll be leaving here because your word tells us that the end of all things is at hand. And so, great God of heaven, help us to endure. Help us to be strong. Help us to be courageous. Help us to be faithful. Oh, God, help us, dear God, to, oh, God, take a leaf out of Abraham's book. Oh, God, the word said he was strong in faith. He staggered not at the promises of you, Lord. Father God, help us to To be honest with you, my God, help us, dear God, to take your word as a shield, my God, that will carry us safely through life, carry our family, carry our church family, each and every one, my God. We pray that your word will resonate in our heart, in our spirit. Oh, God, as we live by your word. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, God. We worship you. Hallelujah. We honor you. We bless your name, Jesus. Oh, God, we love you because you love us first. And we thank you, God, for whatever has been said and done tonight. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for hearing these sweet words again tonight. And Lord God, we place all our cares in your hand. We lay every burden at your feet. And we thank you for the strength from your word to carry on. Continue to bless us, Lord, to hear your words and to continue to bless our bishop, Lord, to teach your word. Oh, God, thank you for hearing and answering our humble prayer. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these mercies. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, oh, God, even on tonight, oh, God, we come before you, oh, God, on behalf of the young people. Heavenly Father, for you know everything. You know each and every one. You know every need. You know every thought, oh, God. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, oh, God, for each and every young person of Beulah Tabernacle, even those that are not from Beulah Tabernacle but are within the family, oh God. Father, right now, oh God, we thank you for everything that you're doing in every single young person's life. Father, Lord God, we know, dear God, that you are able and you are faithful, oh God. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you will have your way in every young person, oh God. Father, oh God, for your word, oh God, is life. Your word, oh God, is our guidance. Your word, dear God, will help each and every young person, oh God, with correction, oh God. Father, and right now in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, dear God, that each and every one that may struggle, oh God, that you, oh God, will have mercy and have your way in each and every life, oh God. Father, oh God, your young people need you, oh God, more than ever before. Oh Lord Jesus, the road may be hard, oh God, but you can make a way. Father, oh God, I pray right now, oh God, for minds that are made up in your young people. Help, oh God, them to know that you are God through every situation, that you are God and that you are faithful, oh Lord Jesus. Father, Lord God, even those, dear God, that may be torn within decisions on whether to serve you or whether to not serve you. Father, oh God, I pray for a made up mind, oh God, within your young people, oh Lord. Father, Lord God, even as they go to and fro, oh God, I pray for protection. I pray for guidance, oh God. I pray, dear God, that a communication with you will be opened within each and every young person's life, oh God. That, oh Father, that they know that they can go to you no matter what the situation may be, no matter what the need may be. Dear God, that you are able and that you are faithful. Father, I pray for strength right now in your young people, oh God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you, oh God, will help them even, oh God, with peer pressure, oh Lord Jesus. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that, oh God, that they will develop a strong mind, oh God, to know to keep going forward, oh God, to push towards you, oh Lord Jesus, that there will be an example, oh God, wherever they go, oh God, that others will see you within them, oh God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, for any young person that may need
need healing right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for healing of the heart, oh God. Even, oh God, any young person that may be depressed, oh God, in the name of Jesus, I come against that spirit of depression. Oh Father, oh God, for you know all things, oh God. I pray, oh God, for that spirit of heaviness to be removed out of their lives, oh God, and that you they would know to call upon you because you will answer, oh God. Right now, I pray for strength. Oh, God, even as they go to and fro school, to school and back, oh, God, that you, oh, God, would have your way. Even as they're in school, dear God, open up their understanding, oh, God. Let them know, dear God, that they are someone and that they can move on and be who you want them to be, oh, God. Father, right now, I lay each and every young person before you, oh, God. Every struggle, I lay it before you, oh, God. Every desire, I lay it before you, oh, God. Oh, Lord, I pray for increase, oh, God, in each and every young person's life. Hallelujah, that they will draw even closer to you, oh God. I pray for surrender, oh God, in the lives of your young people, oh God, that they will surrender to you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. For, oh Lord Jesus, you know the desires. You know their God, what they're in need of, oh God. And right now, in the name of Jesus, have your way, oh God, in their lives. Let your word come alive, oh God, in every young person, oh God. Let your word, oh, speak to their heart, speak to their situation, oh God. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, for every young person will get in their rightful place, oh God, in you, oh Lord, and in what you want them to do, oh God. Father, Lord God, remove the shyness, oh God. I pray in the name of Jesus, and let there be a Holy Ghost boldness within your young people, oh God, as they go forth in your name, oh God. Help them, dear God, to be witnesses to others, oh God. Other young people, oh God. I pray, oh God, for an outbreak, oh God, of boldness, oh God, in your young people, oh Lord. For, oh God, for you know everything. You know the young people are the future, oh God. And right now, oh God, I come against everything that tries to destroy the future of our young people, oh God. Father, I come against everything that is not like you in the name of Jesus, that you, oh God, will speak life into each and every young person, oh God, that you will remove every sickness, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you, oh God, would touch every mind of each and every young person, oh God. Father, help, oh God, them to go forth in your name, dear God, for they are the children of our future, oh God. And oh Lord, stir up the gifts, oh God, that you have in each and every one of them, oh God. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that depression will be gone, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that everything that is not like you will be gone in the name of Jesus, that you will bring up each and every young person's self-worth in the name of Jesus, that you will help each and every young person to give their lives to you and surrender to your will and your will only in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord God, you know the mind of each and every one. You know the desire of every heart. You know what they want to be in the future, oh God. And I pray, dear God, that every blockage will be removed in the name of Jesus for them to move forward in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, for your covering. I pray that your blood will cover each and every young person, oh God, in the name of Jesus, as they go to and fro. Oh, protect them, oh God, from danger seen and unseen, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, for let them have confidence in you, oh God. Confidence in you that you will do it, oh God. That you said that they are someone and they are someone in you. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, build up the self-esteem in each and every young person, oh God. I pray right now in the name of Jesus. I call upon you right now in the name of Jesus, because only you can do it. Only you can do it. Only you can do it. And in the name of Jesus right now, oh, I speak success in each and every young person in the name of Jesus, oh God. Father, Lord God, anyone that is under this ministry, oh God, I pray in the Jesus, and that you will be glorified in the lives of your young people, Lord God. Father, Lord God, Lord Jesus, have your way. For we trust you and we believe in you, oh God. I'm standing, oh God, as a mother of young people. Oh God, and oh Father there, Lord, that you would have your way in each and every young person's life, oh God. For we, oh God, every mother, every father, we cry out for our children, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Block the hand of the enemy, oh God. Right now, we pray right now, oh God. Father, Lord Jesus, have mercy, oh God. Let your grace, oh God, be sufficient, oh God. In the name of Jesus, you must be glorified in the lives of the young people, oh God. And right now, Lord Jesus, have your way, oh God. Your way, Lord, for you know all things, oh God. You know everything, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Help them, oh God, to move forward in school, oh God, as they get their education, oh God. Let them have a desire to learn more, oh God, that, oh Father, that they can be what you want them to be. I am who God says I am. You are who God says you are. And oh God, right now in the name of Jesus, have mercy, oh God. Forgive, oh God, us of every sin that has been done, oh God. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will forgive and that you would wash us and cleanse us in your precious blood. Have mercy, oh God, for we cry out to you, Lord Jesus, on behalf of the young people today. We cry out to you because only if we cry out to you, you will answer. And oh Lord Jesus, have your way. Oh Lord, we need you now more than ever before. We need you, Lord Jesus. We need you, Lord Jesus, to intercede on behalf of the young people right now, Lord Jesus. Father, Lord God, we give it to you. We put it all into your hands. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Have your way. Remove the hurts. Remove the brokenness. In the name of Jesus, oh God. Have your way, Lord Jesus. For we need you. Hallelujah. We need you. We cry out, oh God. From the bottom of our heart, we cry out to you, Lord. Have your own way, Lord. Have your own way, Lord Jesus. Touch every young person that right now may be going through something, oh God, where they feel like there's no one around. Oh, Lord Jesus, show them, oh God, that you are around. Hallelujah. We pray, God, that every judgmental spirit will be gone in the name of Jesus. That, oh God, that we will embrace our youth, oh God, with compassion and love, the way that each and every one of us need compassion and love. Let us embrace our youth. Have an opening ear. Have an understanding ear. Allow them to speak, oh God, right now in the name of Jesus. Help us, oh God, to not be judgmental, but help us, dear God, to open our ears and to hear what is said, oh God, and try to understand what they're going through, oh God. Let us not block our ears to what needs to be said, oh God, but help us, dear God, to understand, oh God, and oh God, help us, dear God, that we will correct the young people that when they need to be corrected, oh Father, by your love, oh God, and your grace, oh God. Father, Lord God, we thank you and we praise you right now, and we know, dear God, that we cannot do anything without you. We cannot move forward without you, but help us, oh God, to embrace your word, oh Father, to do what is right, oh God. Have your way in our lives, oh God. Touch your young people, oh God, for we put them all into your hands. Have your way, God. Have your way, dear Father. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.
Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for these intercessory prayers that have gone up with fervency and with power. We thank you, Lord, for the prayer of faith that will save the sick. And you said that you would raise them up. And if they've committed any sins, that you would forgive. Lord God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we thank you that your presence is on this line tonight. And Father, as you have directed me, I call out every name on this line tonight that you would perform a miracle in their lives. Brother Paul Austin, amen. The person who is Acer, our guest, Bernadette Tinley, Sharice Jones, Claudia Combs, Deacon Michael, Deborah Fowler, Denise Sutton, Dr. Selena Marbury, Dr. Selena Marbury, Harrison Campbell, Lynette Alexander, Mother Audrey Thompson, Sister Nicole Stevenson, Sister Davis, Sister Lowry, and 1-718-253-8835. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, as you have given me instruction by your Holy Spirit, I call these names out to you tonight, believing that you're about to work a miracle, that you're about to open the door, that you're about to do something great, because the seed of your word has been planted in a heart, and somebody's heart tonight is saying yes. Somebody's heart is saying more. Hallelujah. Somebody's heart is saying, do it, Lord. Do it in me. Do it through me. Do it, Lord. Do it for me. Father, we accept your word tonight. We thank you that you're dealing with us concerning our focus on you. We know that there's so much going on in the world. There's so much going on right now. Lord, we know that there's even yet another COVID-19 variant that's loose in the world. Lord God, and there's so many things that could otherwise take advantage of our thoughts, and we can become preoccupied with so many other things. But Lord, you are laying a foundation in our hearts and our minds to be conscious of your presence, to be aware of your indwelling spirit. Lord God, to open the door for those that don't know you yet in this powerful way, to be hungry for you, hallelujah, to get thirsty for you, hallelujah, because you promise in your word, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And so, Lord, we agree with your word tonight and say, have thine own way. We agree with the power of your word. And we say, have your way. We stand in agreement with every prayer that's been prayed, and we declare, have your way. We come against the powers of darkness that would seek to discourage, to deflate, and to distract. And we believe you now for a new focus. We believe you tonight for new zeal. We believe you tonight for the release of faith and power. And we turn this power into praise. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that you give us, for the wisdom that you share, for the anointing that you dispense upon us. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins, for the healing of our bodies, for the soundness of our minds. We thank you, Lord, for making ways out of no way, for healing us and doing great mind-blowing things. Lord, we declare, have your way. Move through our young people like never before. Move through the midst of our women like never before. Move through the midst of our men like never before. We believe you tonight, Lord God, that something powerful is about to take place, and you want us to be focused on you, all eyes on the Lord. Lord God, we bless you now. We thank you. Hey, sure it is sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, to rest upon his promise, to know, thus saith the Lord. Tonight we stand in agreement, and Lord God, we bless your name. We call those things that are not as though they are, and we declare our Emmanuel, God with us. We are strengthened. We are encouraged. We are blessed. We are empowered. We are reminded. We are directed. We are lifted. We are healed. I thank you right now for every precious heart, every precious soul that's listening to this live or that may be listening to this recording. And I ask, Lord God, that your great mercies would be upon them that they would come to a knowledge of you that will certainly blow their mind, that the word of God would take residence and precedence within their heart, as we trust you, knowing that your word will has gone forth out of your mouth and it will not return void. It's going to accomplish what you please. It's going to prosper in the place to which you sent it. And we thank you that you are always with us. Your hand is there to uphold us. Your hand of protection is there to secure us. And in all these things, we give you the praise, for we ask these and all of the blessings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you in Jesus' name.